We've got Sharon O'Dell on the phone. G'day, Sharon. How are you?
Good morning, Anna. Well, thank you.
Yeah, and you're from Save Bolga Forest. Now, earlier, before the New South Wales election, we were following what was happening in the Bolga Forest because Save Bolga Forest was, a very important thing going on near Taree, and you must have thought that there was a possibility that the old growth forest was going to be preserved with the change of government.
Well, we were hopeful that with the election and a new government, you know, things might go in that direction. But since the new government's taken over, there hasn't been anything said about protecting native forests, and Forestry Corp are going hell for leather. So unfortunately, at this stage, there's nothing in sight, but we've been very focused since the election on citizen science. We've had an ecologist come out with us into the forest, and we've been out a few times now looking for koalas, and we know they're in there and we know they're breeding because we've seen different sized scats. We saw a young koala in a tree, but we've also seen greater gliders. So, you know, it's a thrill to see a greater glider. And we think that, you know, with the amount that we saw, we were quite surprised to see so many that we think maybe now that this is a stronghold for the greater glider. So, you know, even more important to defend and protect the Bolga Forest.
There's a similarity, isn't there? I hadn't realised that there's a similarity for the koalas and the greater gliders in the way they graze.
Well, they both have a diet exclusively of eucalypt, tallow wood and grey gum sort of being their preferred, but yes, they have a very similar sort of eating. They come out of a night. They're quite slow in the forest. They're very selective. And so, you know, the gliders are just the most beautiful things. They're about the size of a cat with an enormously long tail.
Wow.
They can be black or white or a combination of both, and the cutest pink ears. And we were out not so long ago in the forest spotlighting and doing some surveying, and their little eyes just shining out. We were just blown away with the amount we saw. So, you know, we're going out again very soon to do some more surveying, and hopefully with the evidence that we're able to collect, it will be, you know, an even stronger case to save this beautiful forest.
Well, one of the things that you pointed out is that the government actually doesn't take much time collecting this data.
Well, that's the thing. We don't have any idea even on the numbers of these endangered species in the forest. That's exactly right. They don't really, I don't think they really want to know what's out there.
Yeah, exactly. That's why citizen science is so important. And I don't know if you know, and I don't know if it's happening in New South Wales, but in Victoria they just passed legislation that is specifically designed to criminalise citizen scientists or people going into coops, which is pretty disturbing, really.
Oh, absolutely. You just cut out on the last couple of words.
Oh, sorry. Yeah. I was the horrifying thought. Oh, you've gone. You've disappeared. It has happened before. But anyway, I was very interested in the fact that the Forestry Corporation is which is a government-run business, is non-transparent. And in fact, the Save Bolga Forest have become incredibly attuned to watching the signs, using the websites to fathom what it is that they intend to do.
Well, yes, we do have some very diligent watchers to see what's going on. And we've just sort of in the last week saw that the forest out here has been closed, and it's closed from July through till next January.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, so that was really alarming to us. And we've, you know, rallied together again and having lots of meetings and working out, you know, what we can do going forward now. And we have, you know, we have a lot of things in the pipeline. We just, you know, all holes are barred now. We just need to protect and defend this forest and so many people that live in this community and also, you know, that come up here are very passionate about defending the forest. So who knows?
So, well, you've written to the New South Wales Minister for Environment and Forestry. What was in the letter and what are you expecting from them?
Well, we haven't heard anything back, but we're all, you know, I actually didn't write that letter, so I can't tell you exactly what was in it. But always as a, you know, a call to stop native forest logging until we can get more of an idea of the numbers of the endangered species, where they are, you know, to protect certain places. The old growth forest that in the Bulga forest, it does have some old growth trees. And, you know, we need to identify and keep as many of the old growth, of course, as we can. It takes, you know, only 100 years to get the hollows needed. And the gliders actually need the old growth and the trees as well for their flight paths, not just for their food source, but for their flight paths. That's something, you know, that hasn't been, you know, really talked about before. So we're just hoping that they can see sense and that sooner rather than later we stop native forest logging.
So, Sharon, you're specifically focused on the Bulga Forest near Taree, but do you have a perspective on what's going on in New South Wales in general in this area?
Well, all up and down the east coast from, you know, Erimba right up to northern New South Wales. There's several forests around here, the Lawn State Forest, the Yarrat State Forest. They're all being smashed. We go out, you know, regularly, and it's heartbreaking to see, you know, what they can do in a day now. So every day that we can halt the logging and stop it in an area, that's a win, because the devastation that can happen in one day even is terrible. And it's that, as I said, you know, Forestry Corp seem to be just going gangbusters while they can. And we have people, you know, sort of trying to protect and defend the forest everywhere, but it doesn't seem to be doing, you know, for now, it doesn't seem to be changing much.
They're not listening. And I was, because you're on the ground and you actually go out into the forest, and so it's an ever-present and very disturbing feeling to feel that the natural world around you is being decimated. But are there conversations going on and coalitions going being built between people who live in the city and where you are?
I would say in the city it doesn't seem to be as... People don't know, you know, it's such a hidden thing. And I don't think the people in cities necessarily have an understanding of just how important and, you know, sort of almost to the point that there's hardly any forest, large forest stands left anywhere in the world or in Australia. Definitely other people in the communities up and down the coast that can see it for themselves. You know, we support them, they support us. We try to help where we can. They come down here sometimes to help. But, yeah, it's sort of preaching to the converted in some ways, that all the people that are on the ground are the ones that know what's happening, it's hard to get that word out.
Yeah, I understand. And the other thing that's interesting to me is the fact that despite the fact that people in the city don't appear to be aware, the destruction of these forests are terrible for the animals and the trees, etc. But of course, humans are affected too, in the sense that it has an effect on the catchment areas of their drinking water and a whole range of other things. It just seems, and I know that in Victoria, the Vic Forest is a loss running concern. And has been for a long time. It's propped up by public money. Is that the same for Forestry Corporation? Is it a loss-running business?
Sorry, I just missed
Is it a loss-running business? Is it being propped up by public money?
Definitely. Oh, yes. Definitely is. It's a known fact that they're being propped up with public money. So it doesn't make sense. You know, in any way, shape or form. And I think that's so frustrating because, you know, for example, this is just, recently I went to a land care meeting and we were told there were buckets of money to help landholders like me to plant corridors of vegetation across our properties for the koalas to use. And, you know, these seedlings will take probably 20 years before they're much good to a koala. But the same government is knocking over hundreds of thousands of fully grown koala feed trees right across the region. So, you know, surely it'd make more sense to use the money to save the trees that are already grown than to just chop them all down and then start afresh. You know, it wasn't that long ago that, you know, we had a very severe drought here, and there's another hot, dry summer coming if the Northern Hemisphere's anything to go by. So even planting new trees, the conditions aren't at all good, you know, for seedlings. If they even do make it into saplings, it's still a very long time off. And, you know, just that fact is insane. You know, on one hand, they're cutting them down, on the other hand, they're giving out grants to replant. It's, you know, and a forest is so much more than just planting saplings. You know, the biodiversity of the forests take hundreds of years. So, yes, it's mind-boggling, really, isn't it?
Oh, it is. One hand doesn't know what the other hand's doing. Mm. It sounds like a great society we live in. But I guess that Save Bulga Forest is going to, I mean, you sat down for a while, but you're all rising up again.
Yes. Yep. We will do whatever it takes. We've come this far. We did manage to get, you know, to save quite a lot of the forest earlier this year when our campaign was in full swing. They packed up and left our forest, which was wonderful. We sort of knew that they'd be back. That wasn't the end of it. But up until now, it's been very quiet in the forest, but we've seen forestry cars around, and just the fact that the forest is closed pretty much indicates to us that they're, you know, going to resume logging any time now. So we will do whatever it takes. I think we're more determined than ever. And people are willing to do things they would normally never have thought themselves doing. Like I myself was arrested earlier in the year, and yeah, there's a lot of people that think when you live here, or even not live here, but just come and visit this forest and see how absolutely beautiful it is. It's we can't let it just go. So. Yeah,
and so if you wanted supporters, you are online?
Yes, if anyone does want to support us, we do have the Save Bulga Forest website, and there's a Facebook site, Save Bulga Forest. And look, if anybody, you know, wants to write a letter to the New South Wales Premier, Chris Minns, asking him to protect the forest, just simply, you know, telling him how wrong it is to please protect the greater gliders and koalas. We've sent hundreds of letters, but it would be great for him to be swamped with letters. That's as much as we can do with the pen and paper. And then what we can do with, you know, people on the ground out here, well, hopefully we can keep them at bay for just a bit longer. We feel like, you know, there's got to be some sort of change coming soon. So we're just trying to, you know, keep the beast at bay for as long as we can until sense prevails and laws are changed.
Thanks for talking to us this morning, Sharon.
Great. Bye for now.